Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and Susan Shand. Later, John Russell and Alice Bryant will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, the United States is pulling out of UNESCO, the United Nations organization that encourages worldwide cooperation in education, science, and culture. In a statement on Thursday, the U.S. State Department says a need for fundamental reform and anti-Israel bias are reasons for the withdrawal. The decision will take effect December 31, 2018. The U.S. will seek a permanent observer status instead. The United States stopped funding UNESCO after it voted to include Palestine as a member in 2011. But it has kept an office at UNESCO and owes about $550 million in back payments. U.S. officials said Secretary of State Rex Tillerson made the decision. The officials, who remained unnamed, said the United States is angry over UNESCO resolutions denying Jewish connection to holy sites and Israel's rights to Jerusalem. Hours later, Israel said that it would also be leaving the UN agency. The office of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the U.S. withdrawal a courageous and moral decision. The announcement came as the cultural organization is choosing a new director. The outgoing UNESCO chief, Irina Bokova of Bulgaria, called the U.S. withdrawal a loss for the United Nations family. She also noted UNESCO efforts to support Holocaust education and train teachers to fight anti-Semitism. She added that the Statue of Liberty is among the many World Heritage sites protected by the organization. It is not the first time that the United States has withdrawn from UNESCO. In the 1980s, it left because it viewed the organization as poorly managed, corrupt, and used to advance Soviet interests. The U.S. rejoined in 2003. Other UNESCO members did not immediately comment on the U.S. withdrawal.
A South Korean lawmaker says North Korean computer hackers stole hundreds of secret military documents from South Korea. The documents are said to include plans for destroying the North Korean leadership if a war takes place. The South Korean official, Lee Chol-hee, is a member of the ruling Democratic Party of Korea and the National Defense Committee. He said on Tuesday that defense officials talked about the stolen documents. Officials believe North Korean hackers were able to see classified military documents stored at a South Korean defense data center. The attackers reportedly gained control of the documents in September 2016. Lee told the Yonhap News Agency, "Also among them were contingency plans for the South's special forces, reports to Allies' top commanders, and information on key military facilities and power plants. He added that 80% of the documents taken have yet to be identified. In the United States, a Department of Defense spokesman said he could not confirm or deny that any documents were taken. Spokesman Rob Manning spoke to reporters in Washington. Colonel Manning said that the U.S.-South Korean alliance is there to deal with those types of situations and safeguard against them. He said the Defense Department is confident in the security of its operations in Korea, including its ability to deal with threats from the North. Cedric Layton operates his own crisis management advisory service. He once served in the U.S. Air Force. He said the amount of computer data taken was not as large as the leak of secret materials by Edward Snowden, a worker for the National Security Agency. Yet Layton said he is surprised that the information was not kept on a more secure system, if reports are correct.
What is interesting to me about this is that this kind of data was not kept on a more secure network.
Layton noted that South Korean and American soldiers work closely together to gather intelligence. He added that he does not think the computer attack showed any special ability by the North Korean hackers. The news of the secret military documents came a day after the United Nations announced that it had banned 4 ships from entering any port in the world. The ships are suspected of carrying banned goods to and from North Korea. The UN Security Council has barred North Korea from exporting coal, iron, lead, and seafood. Council members approved the measures because of the North's nuclear activities and missile tests. I'm Mario Ritter.
Lourdes Rodriguez left Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria filled her home in the town of Vega Baja with mud. The mud damaged mattresses and other things in the house. She thought she would stay with her daughter in Florida for a short time. But 3 weeks later, there is still no electricity or water back home. The 59-year-old retiree said in an interview at her daughter's home in Tampa that she does not plan to return soon. "It's been crazy, totally unexpected, like nothing I've experienced before," she said. In Puerto Rico's capital, San Juan, Efrain Diaz Figueroa listened to a battery-powered radio while he sat in his destroyed home. Its walls have collapsed, and his clothes and mattresses are wet from the rain. His sister was coming to take the 70-year-old to Boston with her family. "I'll live better there," Figueroa said. Tens of thousands of Puerto Ricans left for the U.S. mainland to escape the aftermath of the storm. Things are still bad on the island. About 85 60% of residents still do not have electricity, and 40% do not have running water. It will take months to restore them, so many Puerto Ricans are trying to rebuild their lives away from the island. People are living with relatives in states with large Puerto Rican populations, such as New York, Illinois, Florida, and Connecticut. They are searching for jobs, schools for their children, and housing. "I am in limbo right now," said Betzeda Ferrer. She is a 74-year-old retiree who moved from Miami to Puerto Rico in July. Now she is back in Miami and living with friends. She is trying to find a job that will pay for her $1,300 monthly rent. That is double what she paid in Puerto Rico. "To be in a situation like this, where you need help, is horrible," Ferrer said. Now she is taking a three-hour-a-day job training program. Over the years, many Puerto Ricans have moved to the mainland U.S. Since 2007, the island's population decreased by about 10% because of a shrinking economy that continues to make life difficult. Then Hurricane Maria struck on September 20th, killing at least 45 people, according to the Puerto Rican government. That has caused even more people to leave. Jorge Duany, a professor of anthropology at Florida International University, has studied migration from the island. He said many people may not come back. "Many of those who left are elderly or sick people. They fled or were forced to leave because of the danger of being without electricity or air conditioning in a hot climate. The trip has been tiring for people like Madeline Maldonado. She stayed in a hotel in New York with her two granddaughters, ages 9 and 13, before going to a friend's house in Washington. "I need to get back to my homeland," she said, "although it is not clear when that may be possible." Puerto Ricans are used to bad weather and other difficulties, but the storm's damage has been too much for some residents. Carmelo Rivera is a 78-year-old from the central town of Caguas. She is staying with relatives in Long Island, New York. Rivera compared the storm to Hurricane Hugo in 1989 and Hurricane George in 1998. "Nothing has been as hard as Maria," he said. No one knows how many Puerto Ricans have moved to the mainland U.S., but officials in Florida say 20,000 have arrived in their state since October 3rd. Florida already had nearly 1 million Puerto Rican residents before the storm. New York had over 1 million. Government agencies are trying to help the Puerto Ricans deal with the situation. Law schools, including Florida A&M and the University of Connecticut, have agreed to accept students from Puerto Rico. Miami-Dade County Public Schools have offered to partly use the curriculum and change bus routes to help newly arrived children. Florida Governor Rick Scott has said teachers from Puerto Rico will not have to pay for certificates to work in the state. He also eased financial requirements for some professional jobs, such as real estate agents and barbers. Lourdes Rodriguez said her family may need to sell their house in Puerto Rico to get enough money to create a new life in the United States. They do not want to, but now she, her husband, a daughter, and two grandchildren are living in a small, two-bedroom, rented apartment. Rodriguez said her family had considered moving to the mainland U.S. before, but they never imagined it would be because of such a difficult situation. I'm Susan Shand.
This is what's trending today. The Boy Scouts of America has made a lot of changes in recent years. The youth organization, which formed in 1910, agreed in 2015 to accept openly gay members, as well as gay adult volunteers. It also now lets transgender boys join. And this week, it announced that girls will soon be permitted to join the traditionally male organization. The BSA says it will admit girls into the Cub Scouts starting in 2018. That group is for younger children. It also announced plans to create a new program for older girls based on the Boy Scout curriculum. The Girl Scouts of the USA is another of the country's major scouting organizations. It had tried to dissuade the Boy Scouts from making the changes. Girl Scouts is and will remain the scouting program that truly benefits U.S. girls by providing a safe space for them to learn and lead, the Girl Scouts said in a statement. Girl Scouts officials have also suggested the move was driven partly by the BSA's need to raise more money. They say some of the group's financial problems come from past settlements it had to pay in sex abuse cases. Membership numbers for both groups have been falling in recent years. Under the new plan, smaller Cub Scout groups will be either all boys or all girls. Larger Cub Scout groups will have the choice to remain single gender or welcome both boys and girls. The new program for older girls is expected to start in 2019. It will let girls earn the same Eagle Scout rank that has been reached by young men who have gone on to be astronauts, senators, and admirals. It is the highest level of scouting in the Boy Scouts. The announcement made the Boy Scouts a trending topic on Twitter, Facebook, and Google. Zach Walls is an Eagle Scout. He played an active role in pressuring the BSA to end its ban on gay members. Walls wrote on Twitter about the BSA's most recent move. "So proud of this organization for doing the right thing. Yet another step forward for this American icon." But many on social media did not support the move, including another Eagle Scout, Charlie Kirk. He tweeted, "I am an Eagle Scout. Only boys should be in Boy Scouts. Only girls should be in Girl Scouts. Don't change things that work." Many scouting organizations in other countries already permit both girls and boys. They use gender-free names, such as Scouts Canada. But for now, the Boy Scout name will remain unchanged, BSA officials say. Public opinion studies carried out by the Boy Scouts showed strong support for the changes among parents not currently connected to the Scouts, including Hispanic and Asian families that the group has been trying to attract. Unlike the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts have kept its girls-only status for all its programs. The empowerment of girls remains at the center of its mission. Andrea Bastiani Archibald is a psychologist who helps with the development of the Girl Scouts programming. She said, "We know that girls learn best in an all-girl, girl-led environment." And that's what's trending today. I'm Katie Weaver.
The 1995 film Dead Man has a strange opening scene. Actor Johnny Depp is sitting on a train. A man sits down across from Depp's character and speaks to him.
"Look out the window. And doesn't it remind you of when you're in the boat? And then later that night you were lying, looking up at the ceiling, and the water in your head was not dissimilar from the landscape."
Today, we will explore the word "the." Yes, the word "the." You heard it many times in the audio from the movie. English speakers use this word for several reasons, some of which we will discuss in this program. Today, we will show you how Americans use "the" in everyday speech, writing, and even in the arts, such as literature or movies. But first, we need to give you a few definitions.
Articles are words that go before nouns. They tell if the noun is general or specific. When an article is specific, it is called a definite article. The word "the" is a definite article. English speakers use "the" when both the speaker and the listener know what is being referred to. They can have this shared understanding for any number of reasons. Sometimes the noun is already known, for example. Sometimes the speakers are referring to nouns that are unique. At other times, the situation makes it clear what the noun refers to.
One of the main reasons Americans use the word "the" when they are speaking is because the noun being referred to is clearly understood. The noun could be something seen or heard in an area around the speakers, or it could be a part of their daily lives. Let's listen to an example. You can hear the speakers use "the" in an everyday situation at the dinner table.
"The pasta turned out great."
"Thank you."
"Would you mind passing me the butter?"
"Sure thing."
"Oh, I just remembered. I forgot to let the dog outside. I'll be right back."
In the example, you heard the speakers use the word "the" three times: the pasta, the butter, and the dog. The reason the speakers used "the" is because the nouns they were referring to were clear in the context, in this case, the dinner table. The speakers all understood that they were eating pasta and that there was butter nearby. The meaning of "the dog" is clear to them because the animal is a part of their daily lives. Even if it is not in the room at the time, both speakers know what the dog is referring to.
One of the common reasons you will see the word the in writing is because modifiers of the noun specify what is being referred to. The modifiers of the noun change it from a general noun to a specific noun. Although more common in writing, you can hear examples in films. Let's listen to this example from the 1955 film, 7 Year Itch.
The island of Manhattan derives its name from its earliest inhabitants, the Manhattan Indians.
In the film, the speaker said the island of Manhattan because the modifier, the words of Manhattan, gives information about the noun island. The word island could be a general or specific noun, but when it is modified, it becomes a specific noun, the island of Manhattan. In the example you heard, the modifier came after the noun. However, sometimes the modifier can come before the noun. For example, you might see a story about buildings in the United States. The story might say, Chicago has the tallest building in America. Here, tallest modifies the noun building. This is a specific noun because only one building can be the tallest.
The last reason speakers and writers use the word the is for stylistic purposes. This is most common in fiction writing and movies. By using the article the writer or speaker is able to make the reader or listener more interested in the story. People are likely to show an interest because the writer or speaker is presenting information as if it is understood, even if it is not. Let's listen again to the opening lines from Dead Man.
Look out the window. And doesn't it remind you of when you're in the boat? And then later that night you were lying, looking up at the ceiling, and the water in your head was not dissimilar from the landscape.
In the film, the strange man uses specific language, the boat, the ceiling, and so on. This language is not understood by those of us watching. Viewers start asking themselves questions like, which boat is the man talking about, and which ceiling? In other words, the viewer or listener is more curious about the story because they do not know what the man is talking about. This is a common technique you will see often in films and books, such as thrillers and mystery stories.
The next time you are watching films or talking with an English speaker, try to listen for examples of the word the. Ask yourself why the speaker is using the instead of a different article, such as a or an. The process of recognizing and understanding articles can be a difficult one. However, with time and effort, you will use them with no trouble. And we will be here to help. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.